You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible
Church. Leland had asked me to just announce Pam here this evening for just a second. There's talent and there's anointing, and Miss Pam has both. Talent's a dime a dozen. and I'd rather have the anointing anytime over talent. But then when you've got both, you got the best of both worlds. God bless you, hon.
Hi, everybody. Hi. I'm more than honored and humbled to stand before you and sing praises to my Lord and Savior, and hopefully your Lord and Savior. And all praise and glory and honor to God tonight. And I just want to let you know that God works through people. And he put Linda and Leland in my life and the organization of Loops in my life back in the early 80s. And God made a way for me to come back. I made full circle. And I want you to know that he will bless you wherever you are. That's my God. And hopefully this song will touch your heart. When I was in prison, I sang in the choir. And God made it possible for me to go outside the prison and sing in other places also. And our choir director, her husband, wrote this song. And he was a heroin addict. Was, like I was. See, God created me new. He made me all that he wanted me to be, you know, once he changed my life, once he came into my life. I accepted him as my Savior, and he made me a new creature. His word says that. And this song was written out of Revelations 1 and 8. If you have your Bibles, God's word says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, he who is and who was, and he's to come back again. He's the Almighty. I hope this song will encourage you in your walk with Jesus. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He who is and who was. And I know that he's coming back again. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. There were two men nailed beside him. And one of them cried out, Lord, Lord, will you remember me? So let them have ears, let them hear what the Spirit has to say. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. Jesus is the one. I wanted to sing another song. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Jesus is so powerful and so loving and kind and forgiving. He's merciful. God's grace is all we need. If you'll choose him, he'll walk with you everywhere you go, even in prison. He'll be with you. He was with me. So I know what he did for me. He'll do it for you. All you have to do is ask him. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I'm calling you, Savior, Savior. Oh, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, Do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. I'm calling you Savior, Savior. Oh, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. I'm calling you Savior, Savior. Oh, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Black hair when I met you.
Yes.
You did.
No top.
Yeah. Way back in the 80s. Pam, you getting old. Turn in your Bibles tonight to the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. And if you don't have a Bible, then that will be quite a chore for you to turn. So, if you don't have a Bible and would like to do that, if you lift your hand, we've got some people to bring you a Bible. Just keep them up till he gets there with them. And while he's doing that, if you don't have a Bible, then would you just keep that one as a gift from the rec room? Two right here. Thank you guys for doing that. Appreciate it. Now then, if you are just borrowing the Bible for this session, if you would, don't just leave it in the chair, but if you'll just put it on that table at the back of the room, then we, for those that are left, and we can put them all in a box, and we'd appreciate that. Three men in the Bible that went away from Christ. The first one that we talk about and you've heard about is Judas. And the Bible said when he got ready to betray Christ that he went out and it was night. And boy, it was black night that night. The other one was Peter, the opposite end of the pendulum. And when Peter recognized and realized he denied the Lord three times like Jesus said he would, the Bible said he went out and wept bitterly. The third one is a rich young ruler that we're going to talk about tonight and read about here in Matthew 19. And we're going to start with verse 16 and read a few verses and then comment on them just a little bit. Verse 16, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is, God. And if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And I'm going to stop there and let's pray. Father, just bless the reading of your word. And may this be a message and not a sermon. May it touch the hearts it's supposed to touch. In Christ's name, amen. This event is mentioned in Matthew, we just read, but also Mark talks about it and Luke talks about it. And you get a few different things because there are three different views of this young man and the event that took place. Now, and let me give you something everybody in here pretty well understand when I talk about three different views. Nearly everybody in here has got this, this, this. Some of you look different from a right than you do from a left. Isn't that odd? That's why they do those three. So we learn from them that this is really a perfect prospect for this young man is of any church in our time. He's young. He's rich. He's got high morals. Called him a ruler. So he's got some authority. This is the type of person that everybody wants in their church. This is the type of person that everybody would admire. We learn something else about him. He's a very mannerly young man. He didn't come to Jesus to oppose Jesus or to argue with him. And he didn't come to ask foolish questions. He comes very serious about his salvation. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He's given that some thought. He knows that Jesus has the answer. So he comes to Jesus. He comes for the right reason. And this, up until this point, is an ideal story. But Jesus gives a very precise answer to this. And the first thing he does is correct the young man's doctrine, because Jesus said, you call me good. He called him good master. He said, nobody's good but God. Meaning simply this, that if I'm good, I'm God, and if I'm not. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Now, we got most of the world doesn't believe that, but that doesn't change the fact. Most of the world doesn't believe that God created universe, but that doesn't mean the universe craters over that. A lot of things that people don't believe in, sir, we don't leave. We sit here. Young man, I announced we all go. Things are closed till we get through. Okay. Then the second thing that Jesus did was call his attention to sin. He said, you know the law. He said, you keep the commandments. Now, the commandments never saved anybody. The fact that nobody could go through these, and he said, I've kept them since my youth up. We'll find that's not quite true. But I think he thought that he had, and then he's going to get an awareness check. But Christ will always call attention to sin. Before anybody ever gets saved, they got to get lost. As long as people think we're doing good, we don't come to the Lord. And this young man's got something troubling him. And he knows something is troubling him. And so Jesus said, you got the commandments. And then he said, which one? As if one would do it. And Jesus starts with number 5 and gives him 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of the 10 commandments. He goes right down through them. And then this young man, when he thinks about that, notice what he said here. He said, what lack I yet, in verse 20. What lack I? He knows there's something still missing. What is it? There's something still lacking in my life. And let me tell you this. If you're honest with yourself and have never trusted Christ, you know it. See, people that go to hell go there because they deliberately, willfully, knowingly chose to reject Jesus Christ. They don't go there because of ignorance. They don't go there because maybe they're mentally unstable. They don't go there for... They go there because they deliberately, willfully, knowingly said no to Jesus Christ. And this young man knew that something is lacking. He said, what lack I yet? Now then, Christ is going to tell him he needs to sell everything. Now, don't miss the point here. Okay? Because a lot of people do in talking about this. When Jesus had incidents with people, when he taught parables, he didn't give a course on theology. He dealt with that particular person in a particular situation, as he's going to do with this young rich ruler who has come to him to talk about eternal life. And so he goes right to the point with this young man. He doesn't talk about a bunch of other things that wouldn't apply. This doesn't mean that rich people have to give away their riches to get to heaven. That's not what this is teaching. Neither is it teaching that anybody could even get to heaven by giving away everything. God asks nobody to take a vow of poverty. That's not the issue here. And with the next person, it may not be money at all. But with this young man, that's exactly what it is. That's the thing that kept him away from Christ. Now, people are not saved by giving up their sins. Listen to be careful on this. You're not saved by giving up your sins. You get clean and sober, that's commendable, but that won't get you to heaven. If you stop breaking the law, that's good, and you'll have a better life, but that won't get you to heaven. But those things, if you let them keep you from Jesus Christ, they will help send you to hell. Christ does the saving. But if something keeps us from Him, and many of us, it may not be money, it might be our home, it might be our family, it might be just wanting my own way. It might be, for an elderly person, it could be his retirement. What is it that you won't give up? What is it that we say, I'll give everything but that? Jesus had some cannot be my disciple rules. He said, you're going to hate mother and daddy and yourself, or you cannot be my disciple. He said, you're going to have to give away these things, or you cannot be my disciple. One guy said, well, hey, I need to go tell everybody my... My daddy died and I got to go bury him. Then I'll come and follow you. And he said, let the dead bury the dead. Or you cannot be my disciple. Jesus was very precise about this. He's very strict about this. We live in a time when we say, oh, we got to get to young people. Jesus Christ got a perfect claim right here. Here's a young, rich ruler with good manners, high moral ethics, type of guy that everybody would want. And Jesus is almost as if driving him away. And yet, this is the first person in the Bible, in the life of Christ on earth, that Jesus said he loved. It's first individual that he ever said he loved. So Christ is not being rude with him. Christ is not. But Christ is going to tell him the truth. You and I have gotten mad at people that tried to keep us from making idiots of ourselves, and told them they need to mind their own business, and they didn't have, it's our life and we'll live it like I want to, and this, that, and the other. Now, Most people don't care where you and I end up, but people that do, I remember laying in a hospital bed and thinking back to a man in my life. And for the first time I realized, after not been 5 years since I'd been around him, that he loved me enough not to let me make idiot of myself. That's why he rode me all the time. That's why he stayed after me all the time. That's why he tried to get me to do the right things all the time. That's why some of you got mad at mama and you got mad at daddy, but they loved you enough to care. See, and you love them enough to try to get them to put money on your books. See? All of a sudden, you don't call your bro out there and say, "Hey, man, put some coins on my books." I talked to Brother Rick back there, visited with him probably a lot more than I did, but he was sitting down here in jail waiting to go to trial. A.B. And he's getting ready to testify. And I said, "You realize what that's going to cost you?" And he said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "Since I've been in here, nobody has come to visit me. Not one of the brothers has come to visit me. Nobody's put any money on my books. Nobody's wrote me a letter. Nobody's cared where I live or die. So that's the way it's fine. I'll take whatever they got. Whatever it's going to cost. But I'm through with this mess." See, look and see who it is that cares enough about you to tell you the truth. That be honest enough with you. We're out here trying to get any and everybody. Somebody said, "Man, don't turn them off. You'll turn the young people off that kind of music. You'll turn the young people off that kind of preaching. You'll turn the young people off with some of this. Hey, we got to get them in here and then we'll sneak up on them." Let me tell you what. The modern day church is gone undercover. They've changed their name so church is not in it, and Bible is not in the name, and grace is not in the name, and God forbid that a denomination would be in the name. And they're sneaking around like they're going to sneak up on somebody. "Now we got you, you're going to be a Christian." And the devil is just playing with them. Somebody said this young man came in rich and left poor. You know why? Jesus turned him off. That's not Jesus' fault. What Jesus told him, he didn't like. And he went away sorrowfully because he had a lot of stuff. He had riches. He had a crutch. Just in case my salvation doesn't work, I got money. Just in case this doesn't work, I'm go do this. I can get a better job. Just in case. Everybody's got some kind of crutch. Instead of just totally dependent upon the Lord. "I've got a job. I've got this. It'll take care of me." Instead, and when it comes to eternal life, the only one we got to depend on is Jesus Christ. None of these other things will help us. And let me say this. It's not our business, the Christian I'm talking about, it's not our business to make the message of Jesus Christ acceptable. Our business is just to make it available. That's what we're about. We're just to tell it. We keep trying to figure out different ways how to do what God's already told us what to do. It's not our business. When I preach to you, it's not my business to see that you like me or dislike me. You know what my business is? See that you get the message. I come in here, or any other speaker that stands here, and we're in here, we speak 30 minutes or less. Last week we had 104 people. At 30 minutes, that's 312 minutes, isn't it? That's over 5 hours of time. No, it's more than that. 30 minutes, that's 3,000, not 300. 50 man hours. That if we don't give the message of Jesus Christ and tell you how to get to heaven and how to live your life where that you can have joy and peace in your life and have heaven afterward. We have wasted all of that time. Think of the hours we just wasted. We might as well have been playing Pac-Man. And if anybody knows what that is, you've dated yourself. See, Johnny started laughing. Yeah. See, that was one of the first video games that ever came out. It was Pac-Man. Hey, we might as well be playing Pac-Man in some of this stuff. And by the way, it just said Jesus loved him, but he went away sorrowfully, and Jesus didn't compromise. He didn't apologize, and he didn't negotiate. If there's any one thing that we've got to be straight about, it's eternal life. It's eternal life. Don't gamble on that, people. Don't take that chance. How much is eternal life worth to you? Or Jesus asked it this way one time, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Would you be willing to give your job? Would you be willing to give your family? Would you be willing to give your life? We kick this thing of belief around very lightly, very frivolously. Let me give you the best example I know of belief. In the 1800s, there was a man by the name of George Blondin who became known as the Great Blondin. And the reason he got that title, he was the first person to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. He was 100 and something feet above the falls, and it was 1,000 feet to the bottom of the falls. And he was a daredevil who was the early Evel Knievel, if you would. And he put on that show. But to make it more interesting each time, he would do it a little different. He walked across it blindfolded one time to draw a crowd. One time he walked across it pushing a wheelbar. And then after he did that, he turned to the audience and said, who believes that I could put a person in here and walk across Niagara Falls with a person in this wheelbarrow? And the crowd roared, yes, you can. And he said, who wants to get in? This is an honest story. This is a true story. All of a sudden, that cheering crowd, glory, hallelujah bunch, got real quiet. The only person that would get in that wheelbarrow was George Blondin's manager. And he probably felt like he had to. I don't know. But he did get in it, and George Blondin pushed him across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Now, let me tell you something. That's belief. That's not that stupid song, I believe for every drop of rain it falls, flower grows. What kind of faith is that? What it is I have turned it all over to you. That's the cost of discipleship. Jesus Christ wants all of us so that He can bless us totally. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. And you're here tonight. And you know within your heart, like this young man did, that you like something. This thing of eternal life is lacking in your life. You know that. I want you to give it some thought. The Bible says, and listen carefully, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, notice it's a heart belief, you'll get in a wheelbarrow with him. You'll let him push you across Niagara Falls, as it were. If you'll do that, he He said, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Jesus died. He arose again that you and I might go to heaven. In a moment, Brother Doug's going to sing. We're going to stand to our feet. In fact, let's do that now. With our heads still bowed and eyes still closed, would you stand? And when he starts singing, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you don't have eternal life, and you know whether you do or not, will you come and say, I put my faith in Jesus Christ tonight? Right now, would you come, Brother Doug? Lord, I'm coming home. Would you come?
Open wide your arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
I've wandered far away from God.
Heavenly Father, we've not made things easy tonight, purposely. We need, you said, count the cost. I think too often, maybe the reason that we have so many failures is that we don't really turn it all over to you. So, Father, I pray that you take this message and it would dwell on the hearts and the minds of each one here tonight, especially those that do not have eternal life. May your Holy Spirit give them unrest till they get that situation solved. Thank you, Father, for those that are here. Thank you for those that heard. Thank you for another opportunity to tell the story. Now bless you people and give them another opportunity to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Turn your Bibles in. Don't forget the refreshment bar is open. Have a good time.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.